It's official after the word prayer, okay? All right. Our dear and fellow Lord, I just thank you for this day, chance to be here in these classes, and I pray, Lord, that our minds be focused on your word, lessons are brought forth, and think on these things, Lord, and we will grow in your word and be better equipped, Lord, to be used of you. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, especially what he did for us at Calvary, of course, his resurrection. We're just so thankful for that, Lord, and just look forward to his return to take us to be at home in heaven with you. Do pray, Lord, for some of the brethren that might still be on the road, just give them that safe trip here, and of course, those will be traveling later tonight as well. Again, Lord, I just thank you for your written word that we have, that we can read, study, and live our life by. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to continue here and move on a little bit here with concerning Baptist history. The last three or four, five lessons or classes we've had, we've looked at some of the individuals, some of the places, people in those first 200 or 300 years, and some of the history that was written by them. And I'm on page 49 in Stringer. We're going to start chapter 7. We might just look at a paragraph or two. That's the chapter. If you are doing some reading, that is the chapter to probably focus on for right now.
Was that page number 42?
Page 49, chapter 7 in Stringer. Okay. And it's just talking about the persecution of the early church. That's what we're going to look at. We're still going to be looking at the first 300 years. But we're going to look at some things. So we're going to start off in the scriptures here, first of all. I just can't help from reading through some of this church history. Fox's Book of Martyrs, we're going to look at some of these things tonight, maybe if we get there. It's just hard for me to see how the brethren were able to go through. When I say go through, let me explain that. The death, when the death takes place, that person's done. But there were other people, the ripple effect, those, the family members, others that witnessed and watched. How were they able to do that? And the only way, of course, is because they had the mind of Christ. And they were in position to get through those difficult times. And they were very difficult. All right? And so, let's start off with this. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. I always want to cut off back on some of the verses so we can move on to the next point. And that doesn't seem usually to work very good. Matthew chapter 23, if you would, please. I don't know how to do this. Brother Daniel, I'm going to ask if you would to read 29 through 37, if you would, please.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you the prophets, and wise men, and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, and the blood of righteous Abel, unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation.
And verse 37 as well, please.
37 as well?
Yes.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not.
So, reading these scriptures, right, pretty encouraging, right? I had Brother Daniel jump in there. Maybe you're familiar with this chapter. Who is Jesus talking to here? Well, Jerusalem. I'm here in Jerusalem. Anybody else?
Religious leaders, first couple verses.
Say it again.
Religious leaders, first couple verses.
Religious leaders. Turn back. This is what I was hoping someone would turn back. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to who? His disciples were listening to this. His disciples were listening to Brother Daniel read right here. Death. Death of the prophets. These guys were called the children of them which killed the prophets, right? It says there, you know, it's talked about it. Did the New Testament, and by the way, this is a young church. Did the New Testament church members know about the Old Testament scriptures and the killing of the prophets and the saints of the Old Testament? Were they aware of this? And that this took place for no reason? And even by, as I heard, religious leaders or people who's gone crossways with God. All right? Members of the New Testament church starting right here, they knew their history. Let's go here. Hebrews chapter 11. We have been waiting to get to this. Hebrews chapter 11. They knew their history. It wasn't a shock. People are getting killed. They knew their history. They knew what happened to Jesus. We're going to get into this. Hebrews chapter 11, we call the chapter what? The what? Oh, I tell you, look at these people and these names. Oh my goodness. Victory and victory and victory and victory and victory. I've said this more than once. When Daniel was thrown in that lion's den, did he know the next 12 hours?
No.
Did he know how it was going to end up? But what did he have?
Faith.
He had faith. And you know what? If God took care of him, he took care of him. Right? But if he didn't, and this is in Shadrach, Meshach, if they didn't, it is what it is.
He
still loved God.
He was still taking care of him in death.
Say it again.
He was still taking care of him.
Going to take care of him in death. And that is just amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so we have this great chapter, and we read about these victories. We read about how they overcame. We read all this stuff. You know, there's a lot of folks that went to sleep that night in the lion's den, and they didn't wake up. They woke up in heaven, right? Or with the Lord. Let's start reading here. Who's next here? Do you read?
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
You don't? That's all right. Welcome to the class. All right, Brother Austin, that's what we all do that. How about chapter 11 and start reading in verse number 35, if you would please.
One man received their dead and raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection.
Okay, so we're talking about some brethren, some in history, some Old Testament saints, if you would. And look at that verse that Brother Austin just read. There were those that were tortured. We're not talking these history books I'm having. We're talking Old Testament here. Scriptures. All right? They didn't accept deliverance. We'll talk about that here in a second. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. If you don't understand what this better resurrection is, that's a great, great study. All right? Keep going, Brother Austin.
And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, and moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be
incurred. So, question here, did the members of the early church know what had happened to the prophets of the Old Testament? They know about the Old Testament saints. How were they able How were these brethren in the Old Testament able to go through what they did? Because they had their sights set on that better resurrection. They were looking. If so be it, they lose their life here. They were looking for that life in eternal age. They were looking for being with their Lord. Or how could they go through these times and these things that Brother Austin just read? This is horrid. They knew their history. They knew their history. All right? They were fully aware. Over. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say that when it said in Matthew that it said that their fathers killed the prophets and then they went to polish the sepulchres, that's basically covering up their sins, their father's sins. So that would be, so that's kind of like taking it on for someone else's sin.
Well, they taking up one out?
Taking on their somebody else's sin.
Well, they might have tried that. Of course, it didn't work, did it, right? Okay. All right. How about Mark chapter 13? Mark chapter 13. Let's go. Who can I go to? Sister Andrew, can you read? All right, good. How about verses 5 through 9, please?
And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them."
All right, so here, being warned of Christ himself. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. All right? John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Brother Jacob, if you would, please. John 15. Let's just read 18 through 21 right now.
"If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me."
All right, thank you. So I'm reading here, here's some warning, some teaching. Can we use that word, teaching, to his disciples of what's going to happen? And I actually wrote down that Jesus prepared them for what was going to happen. I'm thinking, well, I really don't know if that's prepared. He informed them, you know, because when they saw it happening firsthand, how, oh my. But at the same time, it wasn't hid. They were taught. They were prepared in a sense. And when the day came about, that's why we see so many brethren who are ready just to meet it and go on. All right, the accounts are amazing. It wasn't a surprise. Matter of fact, if you turn over to, let's go Matthew 5. A couple of them here. We might just read Matthew 5. I think we could go to 1 Peter 4 as well. But Matthew chapter 5, it says, how about verse 11? "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." A preparation, a teaching. It's going to take place. Not only did he tell them it was going to take place, he told them how to respond. To rejoice. Why? Doing it for the sake of the Lord. Stand up for their God. Rewards in heaven. Right? Be glad. We get to the book of Acts, we see some of the brethren being beaten, and they went away rejoicing. All right? It happens. There's examples more than we realize in the scriptures. And then when we get into the second century and the third century, and we start seeing these things that are brought on by the Roman emperors, we're going to get into those. We're going to, how? How can they? What else did they have but the New Testament, the Old Testament scriptures to hang on to and the promises? I'm thinking they studied their Bible some. I'm thinking they looked forward. If the Lord takes them, they're going to be in heaven. Go ahead.
In that Matthew 23 passage, I mean, it started without Abel. I think from mankind.
From the very beginning.
There was persecution over the truth.
Mm-hmm. Persecution over the truth. It wasn't something new in the second century or the third century. It had been going on. They knew their history. They knew their time. They also witnessed. They saw. So talking about the early church. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. We're just going to hit them as fast as we can. We'll see how it goes. Matthew chapter 26, here we go. You know, and I realize my sins put Jesus on the cross, and I know that. My sins. Okay? But who initiated this crucifixion of Christ? Who got bent out of shape? Who got upset with him? Looking here, Matthew chapter 26. Let's just read verses 3 and 4. Brother Jim, can you do that for us?
Then assembled together the chief priest and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him.
Now, I want you to know that Satan will use whoever he can use. And he used a bunch of religion right here. This wasn't the Protestants. This wasn't the Catholics. These were some quote-unquote Jews that were following the Old Testament, right? Temple worship, etc. No, they were missing the boat. They hated this. Satan used them, and they jumped on this. Here we see attacking, going to the Roman government, going the whole deal, and Jesus Christ himself being crucified. And the disciples knew who did this. All right? They knew exactly. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. It's not a surprise. You know, in the name of God, in the name of, you know, they think they're doing this great work for the Lord. We see, of course, Stephen here in Acts chapter 6. And I'm just going to speed this up here. And the people were stirred up here in verses, 11, 12. False witnesses. In verse number 14, for when they heard him say that this was Jesus of Nazareth, shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face, that he had seen the face of an angel. I think I might have missed one verse there. But the bottom of the council. The council. Who is the council here? Right? Sanhedrin, yes. And of course, in chapter number 7, when you get reading over here, verse number 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on them with their teeth. Of course, Stephen, right? This great message. And then they said that they in verse number, they cried with a loud voice, 57. In verse 58, they cast him out of the city and they stoned him, remembering who the they is. The religious leaders of the day, in the name of God, the ones upholding the truth in Jerusalem. Yes, the early church members, they saw this. They witnessed this. They knew what was said, and they witnessed this. All right? Acts chapter 9 over here. Saul, verse 1, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. All right? And he went unto the high priest. Unto the high priest in verse number 1, I'm reading there. Permission, marching orders, the okay, in the name of, however you want to say it. Persecution, the Apostle Paul, in the name of God, right? In the name of religion. Okay? This has been a problem. It was a problem here in the first churches. Okay? Satan will use whoever he can use. There's no question about it. And yes, we'll get to the Roman Catholics later on. And yes, we'll get to some of the, the Protestants. And we'll get Martin Luther. You'll see that. But Satan will use whoever he can use. And we're going to go ahead and turn to page number 49. Let's read a couple of paragraphs here. The first Roman official persecution, I guess, how Stringer points it out. Bottom of page 49 here. Who has that? Sister Amber, you have that? Page 49, bottom? Yeah, let's start there. Last paragraph.
The first official Roman persecution came in 64 AD during the reign of Emperor Nero. Most of Rome had been devastated by a fire which had been burnt out of control. Many people believe, with good reason, that Nero had ordered to put the fire started to destroy his political opposition. Nero needed a scapegoat to divert attention from himself, and the Christian seemed to be a logical choice.
All right, thank you. I think we'll read one more paragraph, please.
The Christians, while having attracted thousands to their church, were still a very small and unpopular minority in Rome. Nero blamed them for the fire and unleashed a vicious persecution against them. Many Christians were crucified while others were hung to wild animals. Still others were covered with pitch and burned on stakes in the gardens surrounding the imperial palace. In the evening, Nero walked through his gardens that were illuminated by the burned bodies of Christians. According to early church traditions, both Paul and Peter were executed during this persecution that extended throughout the city of Rome.
All right, thank you very much. So we're just getting started with this here. Again, if anybody here in this room disagrees with anything that was just read, you can let it be known, and I'm just going to move on. I'm not going to argue with anybody, okay? This is according to the history of man, okay? And I'm going to, if this continues tonight, we're going to actually see that some of the historians disagree on the dates, okay? But Nero, have you ever heard of him? Maybe you've never even heard this paragraph read before. We're going to read some more. It's pretty detailed. This is sort of the easy version, all right? I didn't do the notes on the boards. I never get to them, so I did throw some notes down here. If you want one, you can take it and walk around and hand it out, but there's some stuff there. Maybe take one and pass it. We used to do that back in the day. Nero, 64 AD to 68. I believe he's the sixth emperor of Rome. He reigned for about 5 years, if I did the right math. He ended up killing himself in 68. It was a good day for many of our forefathers because the persecution stopped. Okay? This guy was crazy. Sister Amber just read a little bit there. They said that, you know, it's not 100% sure, but much of Rome was burned. And you say, well, what does that mean? How much of Rome is burned? Most historians believe at this time that there was over 1 million people in Rome. 1 million people. It was big. Okay? Could have been a couple of million. Maybe even more. But at least 1 million. All right? And as it was read there, the policy, he had to have someone to blame. Mm-hmm. And again, the date, 67 AD. Were Catholics? Yes. Protestants? Who are the Christians? New Testament church members. Now, were there some that are starting to go off and have some doctrinal error? Yes, we've already established that. But when you read this account in 64 AD or 67 AD, as we're going to find another historian gives it, remember, we're not talking a bunch of Lutherans here. Christians, you're pagan, you're Judaism, or you're Christian. Now, whether they stay true or not, God will be judged. Go ahead.
Well, especially at this time, if they're being persecuted, isn't it more likely because they are the true Christians?
More likely because they are the true Christian, yeah. We're not even to 251 here. This is 64 AD. Go ahead.
One thing, this was before the Bible was even finished getting written. This was like as books were getting written before anything was finished is when this started and there were people going away.
It was going. All right. Let's just read here. Let's read. What am I going to do here? Yes.
You're probably not going to leave here real quick. We just learned in our youth Bible study, whatever, I think this is the guy, Nero is the guy that I think that Paul sort of, he said, hey, let me talk to Caesar. Anyway.
Appeal
to Caesar, yeah. I think that's the Nero. I think that we learned that might be the talking about. Anyway.
64 AD. Everybody got that date?
Yeah.
All right, here, let's go here. So, this is from Mosheim's writing here. I don't know if I put this in notes or not. I put some notes out there for you. Everybody got those, right? Foremost in the rank of those emperors from whom the church looks back with horror as her persecutors stands Nero, a prince whose conduct towards Christians admits no palliation, but was to the last degree unprincipled and inhuman. Inhuman. That's how he's described. The dreadful persecution which took place by order of his tyrant commenced in Rome about middle of November in the year of our Lord 64. As the pretext for his cruelty, Nero did not, according to Tacitus, which is a famous historian, bring forward any accusations against the Christians on account of their religion, but imputed to them the commission of a most heinous crime against the public. For having himself, by way of sport, caused some houses to be set on fire, and thus kindled, the whole city, or a great part of the city was destroyed. To divert the blame, he denounced the Christians as the authors of this public calamity. Okay? Among the horrible cruelties exercised on them by his command, they were wrapped in pitched garments. Now this is pretty easy, isn't it? Because see, I didn't know anybody that died in the Twin Towers 3,000 miles from here. Did you? We watched it. Everybody know what I'm talking about? The Twin Towers, World Trade, right? If we lived in the suburbs, we might have known some people, right? This is easy. We don't know these people. They were wrapped in pitched garments and being fastened to stakes were lighted up as torches to dispel the darkness of the night. Their punishment being thus made to bear somewhat of an for the crime they were accused of. Wrapped in pitched and set afire. Chew on that. Then I get to this point here, I'm reading. They said, you know, maybe St. Peter, maybe Paul suffered martyrdom, like we can talk about. Okay, beheaded. Maybe even Peter's wife, according to Clement of Alexandria, was killed right before his eyes first. I don't know if that's true or not. But then it goes on here to say, Mosheim does, of any of the other victims of Nero's cruelty, no memorial is left us whatsoever. None even of their names. You know, when you know them, it hits home, doesn't it? Let's go to Romans 16. Let's do this. Romans 16. So, I don't know. Well, does anybody ever, how many people just like to dive into genealogies and all those listings and begats and stuff, right? Right? We love that, don't we? Has anybody ever looked at Romans 16? I'm going to go ahead and do this here. I'm going to take this time. We're not even going to get it much farther, but that's okay. Look at Romans 16. The Apostle Paul is writing to who? Church at Rome. Okay. I believe this third missionary journey, I think. I don't know that he's been to Rome yet. If he has been, somebody can point it out to me. I don't know that he has. But I tell you what, through his missionary journeys, there's no doubt that he came across many brethren and dealt and worked with them in different ways. So the Holy Spirit has guided Paul to write this epistle to the church at Rome. Let me rephrase that. To the church members at Rome. Members, as in people, husbands, fathers, mothers. And he gets to this last chapter and he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. So Phoebe goes there. And I don't know if she stays there. I don't know. But she goes. Then who's next? And then he says, greet, verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. He knew them, didn't he? Spent some time with them. By the way, when was the book of Romans written? I don't know. 56, 60 A.D.? Somewhere in that time? Somebody, yeah? Somewhere in that time? I've read 57 A.D. I've read 58 A.D. I don't know. Between 56 and 60 A.D.? He's finally seeing my point here. Has anybody ever counted the names here that's mentioned? Well, I took and wrote them down. I might have messed them up. I got at least 26 names mentioned here. These people were real. They had wives. They had children. They had fathers. They had husbands. Now again, I don't know if Paul knew them all. Listen to what he says here. He says, he talks about Aquila and Priscilla there. That's nice. Verse 4. Then he says in verse number... Verse number 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Casual acquaintance there? No. Well-beloved. Greet Mary, one of 35 or so mentioned in the scriptures, right? Who bestowed much labor on us. He mentions Mary. All right? Here's some more names. I should have other people read this. All right? Andronicus, I can't even say it. Junia, my kinsman, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. We can keep going here. I can try to butcher some more names here. Apelles, where's he at? I missed him already. Verse 10. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Approved. These guys have been there, done that. You can go ahead and read these. At least 26 names here. It says, and the brethren with them, and all the saints with them. And he lists them, and he lists them, and he lists them. Here's one. I don't know. Verse 13. I don't know. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. I don't know. Mark 51 talks about a Rufus. I don't know if it's the same one. You ever thought about that? One carried the cross and two boys there with him. If I know what I'm talking about? I don't know if this is the same one or not. What impact did that have on the two boys and the dad that carried and what took Jesus to the cross? Brother Bo?
Well, I know we could probably debate some of this, but a few times in here he says, my kinsmen.
Kinsmen, yes,
and
actually.
In this
yeah.
verse he says, his mother and mine.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's possible that Paul had some, not just relatives in Christ, but his blood relatives in this church here in Rome, and maybe even his mother, that were no doubt.
It's
they were martyred.
Okay. So here's what my point was here. Do you realize that possibly some of these people mentioned in Romans 16 could have suffered under Nero's persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Very well could have. And if not them, for sure, they might have known others that did. Right? They might have known others that did. It was real. It was real. How did these... I don't know. Romans 12. I'm sitting here reading this book and I'm just thinking, I'm thinking about all the cruelties. I'm seeing the stuff that takes place. And I haven't got to the hot irons and the metal seat that they invented, and they got the metal seats so scalding hot and they had people sit in them as their torture. I guess I could go read that, and maybe we will. How could you not have hatred toward those people? How can you be a member of the Church of Rome and see what happens to your congregation and see what happens to your brothers, your sister, your family members, and not... Yet in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, recompense no man to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I know we struggle with that. Tell you what, I'm just ought to give that guy a good backhand the way he treated me. If you've suffered like the people did in Rome in 64 AD, let me know. I'd like to hear your story. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, in thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You realize the Church of Rome probably had this message preached to them sometime after AD 64? Did you have a hand?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just like that verse that you read, could be possible.
If possible.
So we sometimes think, well, no, he really did it wrong. Nothing compared to the stuff that they had to go through.
Nothing.
And how quickly we just kind of give up and say, oh yeah, I tried really hard.
Thank you.
Did you really?
Thank you. Thank you. Brother Jim.
Well, Jesus, when he was on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And Stephen, he was being pelted
exactly.
His life out of himself. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Two great examples, right?
Exactly.
Two great examples. Brother Jim's talking about Jesus on the cross, Stephen himself, right?
Paul.
How did these brethren in the first, and all this, I said first couple hundred years, all through Baptist history, how did they go through? Well, first of all, two great examples right there, right? And they saw, they understood about that better resurrection. They understood about being with their God. They understood about overcoming, as the book of Revelation says, right? They understood. They kept their focus where it needed to be. Go ahead, Brother Josh.
Then you go to Matthew 27, and you talk about the church members, you know, the way they were feeling. You have Peter struggling with paying tribute, paying taxes, and Jesus has to send him to, that's where he draws the piece of money out of the fish's mouth, because Peter sits there, and you can, for a church member, you can tell his attitude, how much more those people, the church of saints in Rome, that yep. This is stupid. What are we funding?
What are we funding, yeah,
do church members today, like, what are we voting for? What are we paying taxes on?
Abortion.
Yeah.
And then we can get to the Walden seats, right? That's true. All right, we didn't finish this. Maybe we'll, Sister Sherry.
So you said 10,000, that's about Nero.
Did I say 10,000? I don't know if I said a number. Okay. There was a lot.
I thought you said something about 10,000 something.
My memory is terrible.
I
don't remember it. I'm not sure what I said. You know, I didn't finish this. Did we? We didn't read Fox's Book of Martyrs, because I have it right here for you. We might do that later. But anyway, there's... That gets us thinking. I'm out of time. I need to get Brother Cooper up here, and we might touch a little bit more on Nero tomorrow, but we'll move on to hopefully Domitian tomorrow. And yeah, let's call that good. Let's stand.